It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails. A week ago, with intense fighting between Israel and Hezbollah along the Lebanese border, we talked about Syria's role in the crisis and what role, if any, they might have in its resolution. One of our guests was Imad Mustafa, the Syrian ambassador to the United States. Andrew Weaver, a listener in South Carolina, did not like what he heard. I can appreciate the fact that you wish to give each side a fair chance to express their views, he wrote, but I felt physically sick as I listened to the Syrian ambassador blame every single problem in the Middle East on the Israelis. There's enough blame to reach around. He doesn't need to pretend that Syria and Hezbollah are the heroic saints and angels he claimed they were. Another listener took a different view. With programs like this, emailed Janet Bauer from West Hartford, Connecticut, perhaps Americans will finally begin to hear and acquire a more sophisticated understanding of the region and to look behind the simplistic name-calling that the Western press has been engaging in. The Syrian ambassador's comments were some of the first on mainstream news to draw attention away from the monotonous drone. Last week on Monday, we expanded our regular opinion page feature to hear four views on the fighting in the Middle East, two from Lebanon and two from Israel. We also heard from you. Christopher Crowder, a listener from Kansas, emailed to pose the question, why is it that the world seems to come down on Israel for the civilian casualties, bombing of mosques, etc., but they don't seem to hold Hezbollah responsible for using these civilians as shields for storing large amounts of weapons in mosques, schools, and residential neighborhoods? Shu, a listener in Arlington, Virginia, wondered, how does Israel or the international community expect Lebanon, or for that matter, the Palestinian government, to secure their country and their borders when their infrastructure and military is being destroyed? What army, with what financing, is expected to maintain peace and maintain order? We also spent some time last week talking about the life and legacy of science fiction author Philip K. Dick. The movie A Scanner Darkly is based on one of his books. With regard to that program, emailed Matthew Kingsbury, a caller referred to a book called The Blade Runner, in which medical care is restricted only to those willing to be sterilized in order to control overpopulation. That was by Edward Allan Norse, and Amazon lists it as out of print. I read it way back in high school, very entertaining, but not by Philip K. Dick. As we mentioned, the movie Blade Runner with Harrison Ford was based on the Philip K. Dick book titled Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And speaking of movies, last Thursday we kicked off our annual Summer Movie Festival. Each week we select a movie genre, you email us your nominees, and Murray Horwitz from the American Film Institute comes in to talk about the best candidates. Last week it was the Best Boss from Hell movies. Meryl Streep was perfect in The Devil Wears Prada, emailed Melinda Green in San Francisco. Of the other bosses from hell, there are so many great ones, but one of my favorites is Dan Hedaya in Joe versus the Volcano. We've posted some of the other vote-getters, including Swimming with Sharks and An Argument for Dracula, at our website, npr.org. And this Thursday, the series continues with the best movies about movies. Email us with your favorites, talk@npr.org. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.